No, I listened to this Fanboy Versus, RFC, New Soundwave sometimes,
Which
Moonbase.
unfortunately likely not be included on the Headmaster's DVD set.
Right. Way to butt in, Fort Max. That's our Fort Max.
Superhero time with your hosts, XV.
Without the stick in the hole, it's not any fun.
Hey, Mickey.
Ham is the funniest meat.
Paladin.
Canada.
And Fort Max.
So this week it's the sucky edition of Superhero Time because we have no Hey Mickey.
How is that? But I'm here to replace him.
Like I said, the sucky edition of Superhero Time. More than usual.
Like I said, how is that different?
More than usual. It's all relative, Paladin.
So
yes, this week our cast includes Fort Max.
Hello.
Paladin.
Yo.
And our regular substitute, Barricade.
I'm broke.
And Fort Max is broken. So the big news this week is Gokai Silver's Dinozord.
Hooray!
It kind of breaks the pirate theme, though, doesn't it?
Unless he actually steals the Dino Thunder Zords.
I was thinking it kind of resembled the evil repaint Dino Thunder Megazord.
Sort of. Blizzard Force or whatever?
But wasn't that a little different from the Japanese one?
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically the same concept. That would definitely be one
Except
way to...
it looks a lot better.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what 10 years of engineering will do for you. I guess. I mean, remember how all Megazords used to look like boxes before G-Ranger?
Yeah, vaguely.
They kind of got better, didn't they?
Slightly.
Some of them did,
anyway.
It does
have that anchor for a head and on its chest, so that kind of keeps with the pirate ship theme.
I guess. Of course, that's also the shape of Gokai Silver's key.
And weapon, so it does fit his theme.
Isn't the weapon just the key grown up?
Probably.
I'm really not sure where we're going with that, but, you know, there's Gokai Silver's Megazord. I'm sure it would be very expensive and not really do that much.
It'll be out in July, I believe.
Just in time for Gokai Silver to be on the show.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so how about the Rata Rata figure arts and its problem?
Well, this is the third figure arts in the O series, and I don't know how or why, but for some reason the figure appears to be defective for its initial release.
Oops.
There's like a chip taken off one of the head flares.
So you're saying somebody gave his mane a bad trim?
Har, har, har.
Well, somebody has to be the personality of the show when Mickey's not here.
Yeah.
Bandai's probably doing it, so we'll buy the reissue.
I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe they tried to give it a glowing head gimmick, and that part explodes off. Because they did it badly.
I wonder if the defect will show up when they use this head in one of the Tamashii exclusive forms.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah.
Because that'll be even more shit in your ice cream.
That sounds like Bandai, all right.
Yeah. Isn't it great?
Thrilling.
Okay, so speaking of O's, there's one or two new O's forms of some sort.
Well, one and a half. The silver thing's probably a Gonbaride exclusive.
Yay, Gonbaride.
Whatever.
But you know that means it'll get a toy.
Probably, and an exclusive toy at that.
Well, you know, the Figuarts Cyclone XL Extreme was apparently a tie-in to Climax Heroes O's, which features that form.
So it's natural they do the same for this, which probably means it'll come with nothing but extra hands.
And will be grossly overpriced on Tamashii's web store.
Exactly.
So, yeah. But that all seems to fit, doesn't it?
Unfortunately, it does.
Okay, so what's the silver form?
Well, we've only seen about half of it so far. We knew about the panda metal for a long time. The head, Well, at first they were saying kangaroo, but now I've heard rabbit and a couple other things, so I don't know yet.
Maybe it's a possum.
So its special effect lets him die and come back to life?
Sure. That would actually be pretty useful. It would basically be the Waspinator medal.
So I assume it has plans.
Yes, of course.
But okay. It will lose to Erector.
Well, we all lose to Erector.
Especially your mom.
Yeah. Erector, I hardly even know her. Okay, so the other O's form?
The more interesting one is the one we've had rumors for ever since somebody hacked the O's driver a while back to hear all the songs for it.
And what is it?
Kokawani, I think is the name. Cobra, turtle, and alligator.
Well, that's, okay.
It'll probably be a form exclusive to the summer movie, or, you know, some movie at some point.
Yeah, that sort of makes sense, I guess.
It fits the theme again.
Yeah. So that'll probably also be a Tamashii exclusive.
Yes.
They should just,
which
you
means
know...
No,
what?
Which probably means no combo change access form for it, so that's disappointing.
They should just cut out any pretense and make everything Tamashii web exclusive.
Don't give them any ideas.
Well, at least then everybody would be used to what it would cost to get the stuff, and, you know, you wouldn't hear the complaining about it all the time. A lot of
no,
people
you
would
still
just,
would.
A lot of people would just give it up at that point.
No, they wouldn't. They're addicted by it now.
Yeah, I'm glad that bug hasn't bitten me.
Oh, and you left out the other new Gokaiger thing. The Hurricane Gokaio add-on?
I forgot about that.
So, surprised they're using the Shuriken Zord.
Well, technically it's based on Furimaru, you know, the mini Zord. Just with a few elements of the Shuri Zord.
Which seems even stranger, really.
Yeah.
But then, you know, the Red Zord in Hurricanger was just a little hawk thing, and that may not translate great into a full add-on.
Probably not.
So it looks like this, the panels open up and it shoots shurikens out.
Yes. But no lightning.
No what?
Lightning.
Ah, well, you know. Can't have everything, right?
Well, it is the Gokaiger, so you'd think they could.
Maybe they can steal some lightning later. Or maybe not, I don't know.
We do have some out... samurai news.
Okay, there's that, too.
Well, you might as well go for it.
Okay, the Gold Ranger is going to be named Antonio.
I thought he was going to be Wesley.
They changed it.
Is he
and
Congo
now...
changed all the names since that first announced...
And now he is a traveling fisherman to explain the fish motif.
So he's not going to be like a taco vendor or anything?
So he's Narutaki? Yeah.
I thought Narutaki was a weatherman. Yeah. But yeah, we get that, and we get some episode descriptions for May.
Yeah, I've read those, and they sound almost exactly like the corresponding Shinkanger episodes.
Go
big
surprise!
Surprise!
Looks like they're skipping the Shinken Brown episode, though.
Well, that's
too bad.
I thought
that was disappointing at first, but I guess it makes sense. They're basically stretching the Shinken Brown gimmick into an entire season with Bulk, so why have a whole episode about it?
True, and we are supposedly getting a Bulk-centric episode.
Well, there's another thing, too, which is that the Shinken Brown episode kind of relies on the Rangers' identities not being a secret. You know, because otherwise...
I guess they kind of are a secret in Samurai, aren't they?
Sort of.
More than they
you're
were
not
in
doing a very. You're not doing a very good job at making sure that no one knows, but...
Maybe not, but, you know, I mean, it's still sort of...
They're not
planned.
Going out of their way to say it, either.
Well, it's just that in Shinkanger, there was no real pretense of the identities being kept secret. I mean, that's usually how it is in most Sentai, from what I've seen.
The secret identities is more of an American thing.
Yeah.
Except in a few of the good shows.
Well, there's only, three Power Rangers series where the they didn't have secret identities. Lightspeed, SPD, and Overdrive.
What about now, RPM?
He said that.
No, I didn't.
No, I said SPD.
You said Lightspeed, SPD, and Overdrive.
Right. But yeah, RPM, that's true. Poor and RPM, everybody forgets about it.
What about Wild Force?
I don't think their identities were open knowledge in Wild Force.
Well, they sure were wearing jackets all the time with their Ranger emblems on them.
Yes, but there was never any real acknowledgement of them being the Rangers. Okay, so there is at least four Power Rangers series that didn't use secret identities, and one that's kind of a maybe.
And the four that didn't use them were actually pretty good.
Overdrive?
So maybe... Okay, three out of four were actually pretty good.
I can't wait for Linkara to get to Overdrive.
Doesn't matter.
Say what, Paladin?
I can't wait for Linkara to get to Overdrive.
You're not Paladin.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Well, I'm curious now, after Barricade pulled a Fort Max on you.
Ouch. Well,
So, what were you going to say?
I was trying to say that since all the good shows don't focus on secret identities, maybe that point doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. Because then Overdrive's kind of an aberration, isn't it?
And then there are good shows that have secret identities as well, so...
Such as, I mean, what's one of your examples there, Fort Max?
In Space.
Yeah, that's good. And Lost Galaxy.
And the second half of Turbo.
Well, for Space, the identity thing really only comes into play towards the end, doesn't it? When they demorph in front of the crowd.
There's one episode that's focused entirely on Carlos getting blackmailed.
Yeah, I remember the little girl on the... Galaxy Glider?
Vaguely. Unfortunately.
Yes, both answers are correct. What were we talking about again?
Samurai.
We started rambling, so probably Samurai.
Yeah, well... That used to be what we did during Ghost Sager.
Well, Samurai is the new Ghost Sager.
No, it's not...
It's not that bad.
Yeah, there's no way that Samurai is anywhere near as bad as Ghost Sager.
It's just boring. It's not really, you know, offensive.
And on that note, should we go to Samurai episode discussion?
We might as well at this point.
Samurai forever.
Well, it sure was an episode of Samurai.
And it sure was part two of last week's episode of Samurai.
Now, did they actually call it part two? I didn't notice that.
No, because they gave each episode a different title.
Could have used more Rick Medina.
Yeah, they could have had him start another fight in the Home for Infinite Losers.
Well, the thing is, my friend hates Rick with a passion, mainly because he was Cole. So that just makes me like him.
Oh, so your friend's not the person who he cursed at on Facebook?
No.
Oh, okay.
Huh?
Never mind. So, well, what's your friend got against Cole? I don't get it.
Because he killed Serpentero with a bike.
Well, it was a bike given to him by Animaria's god, though, so, I mean, that seems
pretty
level.
Well, it's not just that. He hates Cole in general for several reasons. But, yeah, I like Rick Medina just as Spite.
Spite is good.
Reduces my opponent's PP.
What?
Reduces my opponent's PP.
PP.
Okay, then. Well, since Samurai is almost a direct translation of Shinkenger, and at the end of this, both Jaden and Mentor are talking about what they're not telling the Rangers, I can already guess where this story's going again.
Yeah, I kind of was wondering if they might actually do the big reveal earlier in the series than Shinkenger did. Since they're already referring to it pretty directly.
Which is dumb, because it loses the impact from when that moment finally happens.
Yeah, it kind of does, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, really, Shinkenger is... a much better laid out series than Samurai seems to be turning out. It's not really that Samurai is a direct adaptation of Shinkanger, it's just like a bad adaptation of Shinkanger.
So adaptation decay, then.
At the best.
But in Samurai's mild defense, I will say that these five core rangers are a little bit more charismatic than the Shinkangers.
I'd rather have Shinken Red over Jaden.
I think the Shinkangers were more well-defined as characters than the Samurai Rangers are. Being that the Samurai Rangers are all based on watered-down concepts of what the Shinkanger characters were. I'd really like, and I've said this before, I'd like for Samurai to kind of reach out and do something different than Shinkanger did, just so we can get a better feel of what the show is capable of on its own.
But it doesn't look like
Not with the executive producer it has.
Yeah, I know.
The most we're getting is Bulk and Spike.
Which, I mean, it helps.
That's pretty standard, actually.
I imagine Samurai would be kind of horrible to watch without that much, at least.
Probably.
I just hope they get a new executive producer for next season.
Because what would Ghost Ager be like directly adapted like this?
I don't think they're that stupid.
I don't know. They're doing
even
some
then,
kind
of... Even then, it might give us Gosei Angels who we don't hate to look at, so there could be something there.
Well, I don't know. I'm not really liking to look at the Samurai cast very much.
Well, you're not having to look at the neck.
I don't see any ear or neck problems with them, so...
Even so, just because there's not any glaring physical deformities doesn't mean they're all good-looking.
Yeah.
Oh, they really need to do something different with Ghost Ager. They need to Dino Thunder up Ghost Ager.
So bring back Tommy?
Yes. Yes.
He can play Blade Run.
Because he just won't die.
We need a team of Tommies.
No, if they brought back Tommy, he would have to be Master Head. Don't ask me how that would work, that's just what would have to happen.
You want him to possess the old fat guy in the observatory?
Sure. I mean, it's, you know, the fat guy in the observatory is pretty roomy. There's probably lots of space to live in there.
Just like your mom.
Yeah.
Before he dies. Literally this time.
I hate Ghost Ager so much.
So, should we talk about something
and
good?
Samurai.
Well, I think we've said all we can say about Samurai, which is increasingly less...
It's not bad enough to talk about for a while, and it's...
not good enough to talk about for a while.
It's just mediocre, which, there isn't really much exceptionally good or bad.
But I think that's the definition of mediocre, Fort Max.
Yeah.
It's just kind of there.
Fort Max,
I think it's worse than Ghost Ager.
Fort Max, you're being somewhat redundant in how you're reiterating all your points.
When is he not?
So yeah, maybe we should talk about something different. Something that we actually like. Like Gokaiger.
Shall we leave Gokaiger all behind?
No, I think we'll go for Gokaiger.
Pirates it is.
Yes, Pirates.
Yo ho, me mighties, it's time for Pirate Sentai action!
So, this week they're looking for the Flying Island. They've been around the world.
The direct route.
They've been around the world four times already.
Until the princess notices a suspiciously familiar cloud.
Yeah, really, if you're going to do something like that to hide your flying island, you ought to have it change shape every once in a while. Because that could start to get conspicuous. Of course, the Gokaigers are a little more adept than everybody else.
Usually.
Well, they are the Gokaigers. They're awesome. So yeah, they find the flying island hidden in a cloud and dock the ship.
And instead of Pterosaur and a Mountain of Energon, it contains Gowlion.
Yeah.
And a,
who throws them off the island.
Yeah. And a bunch of mooks.
Yeah, they're followed by a bunch of dump troops rather quickly.
And Bowser.
Yeah. Grab him by the tail.
The Bowser thing there.
Don't grab him by the tail, you hit the switch that's behind him.
No, you grab him by the tail and swing him around and throw him into one of the bombs.
No, you just need the blue tortoise shell.
Only if you're in last place.
This is almost as good Pokemon references.
So they fall off the Animarium and conveniently land right in front of Galred's hospital.
Vet's office.
And even though he's a veterinarian, he can help Princess Aim.
Well, it doesn't take a medical degree to bandage a leg. But you're missing the best part of this, which is when in free fall they transform into the Jetman.
Right.
And also, and also before then, they're using Turbo Ranger powers because, well, they're fighting a fast guy.
But Jetman was better.
Yeah.
Because he did the whole fly thing.
Yeah.
Both the series and this use of powers.
What?
Yeah, never mind. The point is, even as Jetman, they crash land.
Well,
and
I mean,
they talk to the previous owner of Gowline.
Right.
And then, the dumb guy who thinks he's in charge of what are the bad guys called again?
Zangief.
Yeah, the guy who acts like he's in charge of Zangief, orders Bowser fall back and just randomly invade.
What's his name again?
Didn't we come up with a nickname for him?
I don't remember that.
No, but we should.
Well, Bitch School's already taken, so...
Yeah, Bitch School was the I'm episode. Milfy episode.
Uh-huh.
So...
What's his name again?
Can we reuse Diamond Bitch?
No. Because that wasn't even a good one back then.
No.
I swear we came up with a name for this guy, I just can't remember it.
What's his actual name? I don't remember that.
See, that's how unimportant he is in this series.
Let's just call him Cobra Commander. We call the dude Destro and the girl Baroness.
Too many G.I. Joe references all in one place. You gotta spread this stuff out.
Just like your mom.
And I'd be on board with calling him Cobra Commander if he was a snake-themed suit. As it is, he seems more...
Yeah, it's Oil's Gill.
So, Cobra Commander it is.
Okay, then.
I'm not going to remember the real name.
Or was it Commander Nepotism?
Well, we talked about nepotism in relation to him before, so...
Yeah, but then we decided that it's probably more likely he was just sent out to get him out of everyone else's hair.
So what would you call that?
Just call him Junior. That's good enough.
Yeah.
Okay, so Commander Junior isn't really thinking far ahead.
Commander Boss's son.
So Commander Junior isn't really thinking far ahead like everybody else. And he just wants to invade the Earth and screw the treasure.
Because, of course, if he rules everywhere, that means that he rules the Earth. And if he rules the Earth, that means he rules all the powers.
It'd be better if it was because if he rules everywhere, he rules the Earth, and if he rules the Earth, he rules everywhere. Circular logic like that is better for this kind of character.
Yeah, but still, of course, doesn't matter the fact that if someone who doesn't like him gets a hold of the powers, but, of course, if he's ruling, he's ruling.
That's right.
They have to follow him. They have no choice.
Yeah, because he's the commander's son.
For now.
Or emperor's son, whatever. Because he's Commander Nepotism. It may not be entirely accurate, but Commander Nepotism seems to flow a little better.
Yeah.
So the Zangief treasure hunt is called off abruptly. And we're back to just terrorizing people looking for curry. It's too bad the curry never came back after the first episode.
Oh, well. But meanwhile,
maybe we'll see
it
in episode 50.
They have to win the lion's loyal.
What, Paladin?
Meanwhile, Galred teaches them that they have to win the lion's loyalty.
Or respect or something.
Whatever.
But yeah, it's... Galred explains that it's not his power to give over to them. It belongs to the lion. And lion probably don't like pirates.
But still, one thing that confuses me, of course, Gal Lion is still active, but... How?
Magic.
Why shouldn't he be?
Well, with the powers being sealed away and all.
Well, the powers weren't sealed away, they were just, you know, lost in space.
But the power came from Galdion. Couldn't he just... The power's right there. It's not
but
lost.
He doesn't want to share anymore.
But it doesn't work that way, Fort Max. Galdion may be the source of the power, but the power itself has been turned into a funky little key. And lost in space. Or something. Basically, my point here is, shut up, Fort Max.
So they do the Gal Ranger change again and use their finishing move this time.
Yes. First use of... This is the first time they've actually used a combining weapon, isn't it?
Probably.
Yes.
Unless you count the football for the Gal Ranger Hurricane.
It doesn't combine.
No, but it's the combined attack. Oh, speaking of the combined attack, one good part in the... Turbo Ranger sequence earlier in the episode was Doc's legs almost giving out under him when they were standing on his shoulders in the pyramid formation.
Oh, Doc.
Yeah.
So instead of Decade, it's now all Doc's fault?
I don't know if I'd call it fault, but they're doing good direction with the stunt work for Green or Black, depending on what he's wearing.
Depending on what key... He whips out.
All I heard was whips out. I'm kind of concerned. So anyway, in their defense of the helpless civilian population, they win the Galdion's respect. Or they
yes,
win
but
Gal
first, the villains
respect.
Are smart enough to realize that if they hold back the thing on Gokai Galdion, they can't summon any of their treasures.
They read the instructions.
Well, it proves they're not entirely stupid.
At least
just mostly.
That's mostly commander nepotism.
Yeah. Everybody else is paying attention and learning things.
So this time, instead of summoning like a duplicate treasure, they get to use the actual Galdion.
Yes. And apparently that will be the case.
It's kind of a break in the flow.
Apparently that will be the case from now on, too. Or that's how it's implied at the end of the episode. Which, I mean, it makes sense. There's a floating island in the sky, so it can just be wherever.
I'm curious how they're going to... Galdion,
who already has had a upper part of the Megazord right on him, so...
It all kind of works out.
Especially
although,
for him.
That's still very awkward looking with the with Gokai only connecting to the thighs. That's not a good centaur at all.
It's not any worse than the last time he did that.
Well, it kind of is.
Not by much.
I'm curious how they plan to explain the sharing of Galdion.
What do you
with
mean?
The Shinkenger powers?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure they'll find some way to make it work.
It'll probably be a while before we see Shinkenger powers anyway, so I don't think it's going to matter.
They're just going to slap the Shinkenger logo on it.
I'm sure something will have happened in the series by the time the sharing aspect would have to be brought up to make it make sense. Or maybe not, I don't know. We'll find out later.
They've got time.
Yep. So what happens next week?
Big Bomber.
Jack.
Big Bomber. It's about time, too.
Let's see if it actually works right.
They've been teasing us with that all over the place. Hope it does something fun.
Will it fire infants again?
That would be great. Or a hard-boiled egg.
That was the Go Ranger Hurricane.
Like I care.
Well, maybe it'll shoot curry.
But what would the curry do?
Bring megavirus monsters to life?
What?
It made sense to me. You're just dumb, Fort Max. So, on to O's.
Yes.
Holy f***.
Come on!
Okay, then.
So, yeah, that was some pretty good O's this week.
Stuff happened. I was there.
Stuff was explained.
That's the same as stuff happening.
Lots of Cake Boss, who... was somehow out-acted by Maki.
Well, yes, and then there was the whole Maki thing, too. That was kind of disturbing.
But did Maki appear on multiple screens at once?
He could have.
No.
He just didn't need to. He probably will later.
Possibly.
He'll get to do all kinds.
Yeah, you think that there's this harmless thing of him thinking that his sister's still alive, and then, turns out his sister isn't alive because he killed her.
Horribly.
Yeah. Yes, Maki couldn't stand the thought of being separated from his sister, so he killed her.
And all because of what he taught her. Well, she taught him, I mean.
Yeah. And we understand where his obsession with the end of things comes from. Because a person's
where he
life...
picked up the charred remains of the doll.
A person's life is not complete until they die. Which, although true, just seems strange when you say it like that.
Put it in a way that doesn't sound strange.
Huh?
Exactly.
Well, he wants to preserve things so they don't get corrupted.
By ending them.
As quickly as possible.
Yes. So, for instance,
he blows up his laboratory and sends out a freaking army of Kandroids.
Carrying his painting. That's the best part.
Yeah.
They bring the painting with them.
Well, the painting is his symbol. It stands for everything he believes in. Which is the end of things. Because Maki wants to destroy the world before it gets completely destroyed.
Too late.
Yeah, you know, I'm starting to think Maki's not exactly playing with a full deck.
Just now?
Well, but now that Maki's gone from the Foundation, who will maintain Birth?
I don't know. I can't imagine Kogami doing that hands-on.
I can't imagine that Kogami wouldn't have a backup plan.
Plus, you know, Dr. Maki destroyed the computers, which presumably contain all the files relating to Birth and the other projects. So that could be a little bit of a setback, too.
Again, you're assuming Cake Boss doesn't have backups.
He is pretty with it, isn't he?
Yeah.
Sometimes.
I guess we'll find out in the next few episodes.
Kogami
sure
may be bad.
He already had access to all of Maki's computers. How else was he showing up on his screen?
And then we get some backstory on the original O's and Ankh.
Yes, because it turns out that Ankh was on the side of the original O's king guy who had the Greed created in the first place, because he was going to take all the other Greed's powers from O's after O's took them from the other Greed, but O's apparently went berserk, which somehow equates to turning into stone and then turning into a coffin.
We did do like an octuple scanning charge, so maybe that had some sort of residual effect.
Oh, it was way more than 8. He threw about 2 dozen metals in the air and scanned them all at once. And that's apparently adequate to destroy a human body.
Or turn it into a coffin.
I would call that destroyed, wouldn't you?
Probably.
But, you know, that wasn't before he ran his hand through original Ankh and pulled out most of his metals. That has to suck, right?
Just leaving him with the 2 Hawk medals he had to start with.
Or, well, not just the 2 Hawk medals. Those were the medals that were in his arm that got sealed. The rest of his medals were in, other Ankh.
Well, yeah, O's pulled a lot of core medals out of Ankh to start with.
And we also find out where Kogami got the peacock medal, or was it the condor?
It was something like that.
Yeah, one of the two, but...
It was one of them.
Yeah. One of them,
got on his
turns
trip.
Out, just pulled it out of Other Ankh, and that's what woke Other Ankh up.
Which also seems kind of weird.
He also got Other Ankh from that trip he went on episodes back.
Yes.
Nice to see that.
His New Year's vacation.
With the feather boa.
Yes.
Well, now we know where that came from, too.
Well, and plus, and actually, you know, removing a core metal from Other Ankh, causing him to wake up, makes sense, considering that the Greed didn't, when they had their original 10 metals, just didn't do anything, that were just dormant.
They had no will.
Until they got the 10th metal removed and it was destroyed. Then they actually had desire and did stuff.
Right. Also, they've made it make sense why other Ankh is missing half of his head. It's representative of his mind being with original Ankh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Arm so, Ankh has all the brains. Which might make sense if he had the two Hawk medals.
Yeah, I suppose so.
And so, in the meantime, Kazali befriends evil Jetman and teaches him how to make a human form.
And to go along with the voice, it's another little kid.
Yes.
Even littler than human Mezzel.
With mismatched sleeves.
Cute.
Very.
And then Oz and Birth defeat the panda yummy at some point. But that's less important. Yes.
Well, we get to say farewell to that nightmare fuel, so we're thankful for that.
Oh, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, they can do worse, and they probably will.
They did in that very episode.
Well, yeah, but not with a yummy costume. They just did it with the writing. Which is a much more impressive feat. You can make a scary costume as much as you want, but if you don't have the writing, it's not that much.
And next week certainly looks interesting.
So that's when that'll happen.
And it's even got Uva in it.
Yeah, where the f*** has he been?
Being boring.
Well, now he's going to be part of something interesting.
Not necessarily. He might just, you know, suck up the whole next episode. I have a feeling that... What?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I have a feeling that Uva's probably not going to be around that much longer.
Probably.
Think you they'll know, get rid of him like they did with Gamel and Mezul?
Now that Kazali has another little Ankh running around under his control, he'll probably move against Uva directly.
See, I think they have to keep Uva around a little while longer. Otherwise, how are they going to sell his figure art?
Well, most figure arts come a long time after the character's not on screen anymore. So, I mean, that's not really...
At the end of the episode, we see AG with...
AG with what?
These weird purplish eyes, which means either the purple metals finally come into play or an Imagine followed him from the Deno movie.
We could use a little Ryutaros.
AG breakdancing.
Yeah. While the hip-hop climax jump plays in the background.
From start to finish.
No, that's Momotaros.
Besides, the climax never ends.
Right. So yeah, that was O's. That was pretty good.
Definitely.
I'm not sure if I would have preferred to have all the story revealed, you know, a little earlier instead of the 1,000th episode stuff, but this was good too.
Yeah, and it works like this. Plenty of build-up to start figuring out stuff without it being directly... Some stuff without it being directly told.
Right. So, I guess that just leaves one more thing to talk about.
Two? We have Twitter Theater and AXO.
Well, one thing to talk about before break.
True.
So yeah, double returns, kind of.
But Axel takes the spotlight, which is good.
Yeah. Nice to see that he can carry a story by himself. So, thoughts?
It was a pretty good special. Though I still think the Axel booster form is f***ing stupid.
It's been growing on me.
What would you have instead?
Why not just have him stick to the regular forms?
Well, that wouldn't be very special, now would it?
Well, it's
hard to sell a new toy that way, too.
Well, and plus, with it like this, they can have two different yellow Excel toys because the booster form isn't the same design as the intermediate yellow form that it goes into for trial.
I guess the intermediate form would be Excel Standby.
I guess.
Yeah, that's as good as any.
Also, they kept talking about the memory booster thing being making the memories three times more powerful.
And we're still deprived of seeing a unicorn dopant.
Oh, well. I'm sure it would be a letdown anyway, like Ocean. course, then there's Commander Dupont, who apparently can kill you by pressing a button on his wrist.
The commander symbol was interesting, though.
Seemed a little overpowered, though.
Yeah. And I'm guessing that Dupont is supposed to resemble Weather slightly.
I guess. Hadn't really thought about it.
The upgrade one reminds me of something out of the Machine Empire.
Nah, it looks more like he's wearing a Stargate on his back.
It's also interesting that he can generate his own foot soldiers.
Or, considering that they appear in the same way he made that guy disappear, it's possible all those foot soldiers are guys all the time? Killed.
Huh?
So it's like Darkseid, he can kill them and bring them back whenever he wants?
I still think he's just generating them out of nothing.
Kind of like this show.
Like, without the generating part.
Or the something.
No, I said generating them out of nothing. So, yeah, that is without the something, but I didn't include the something in the first place. But yeah, it was a pretty good movie. Good action
sequences. I liked it. I want to see more.
And of
more.
Course, someone mentioned on Twitter about how the entire plot wouldn't work without Akiko carrying the idiot ball the whole time, but it's Akiko. She's carrying the Akiko ball.
No, she's carrying the shoe.
No, the she drops shoe. The shoe.
On several people's heads.
Yeah.
It's still lying. It's Akiko. She's always carrying the idiot ball in some respects.
She's prone to overreacting a little bit.
And of course, it does make sense that Ryu wouldn't understand the entire calling her by her name thing.
Yeah, he's a little slow too.
Yeah,
I think they could have had Ryu at odds with the police, other than making it look like he murdered her guy's name, who I can't remember.
Gino,
gullible man.
Guy who isn't important enough to live.
Well, he lived anyway, though. Yeah. And what's more, he got to have a little badass moment before he got shot, too.
With the Three Stooges fighting style, pretty much.
Hey, it's still working. He
Which is surprisingly effective.
Yeah, he got an extended fight sequence all to himself and did pretty well. I mean, that's definitely a payoff for a whole series and two movies where he just...
Right
was...
on button.
The comic relief.
Right up until he dies.
Or get shot.
But
it was
yeah,
fine. It was just a flesh wound. Yeah.
I just don't like that overused. It's not what it looks like cliche. I can think of a couple other ways they could have put Terui at odds with the police. He could have just like gotten orders to not pursue the case, but he does it anyway, and that's why they're after him.
It wouldn't have worked the same though.
Yeah.
Plus, considering that was most likely what Commander Guy was intending.
Yeah, I would say so. Especially since he left the gun behind after he shot Gino. You know, then Terry picked it up, so he's holding the gun while he's over Gino's body. I mean, it's all pretty orchestrated to frame
And
it.
Then he can come right back and, as a human
Catch him.
And say... You shot him.
Right. I mean,
it works.
Yeah, the way they set it up, it works.
It does, I just don't like that cliche.
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't depend on a series of coincidences to happen, you know?
I guess so.
It's not like Commander Dupont shot Gino, dropped the gun and ran off, and then somebody else came up and jumped to the conclusion that Terui had shot him. You know, it's all staged that way to get him out of the way in the first place. Much like What's-Her-Name stealing the Excel memory off him.
Thief bitch.
I think we have too much bitch. Maybe we should call her something else.
Thief slut?
I don't think you're really getting the...
And sadly, the next Double Returns features Eternal, so it probably won't be as interesting.
Maybe not.
The bloopers at the end of the credits, though, were pretty good.
Yeah, that was a surprise.
Especially when Shotaro threw the Joker memory.
I'm sure that's not the first time that's happened.
Yeah, they probably had like a stash of those in case they got broken like that.
Well, you know, that's not an up-close one, so that's probably just one of the toys.
Exactly.
It's not a hero prop one, as they would say. Also, it may just be me, but Lily Shirogane was not as attractive looking as she was in her own episode.
Has she aged a bit since then?
I suppose so. You know, she was also Hurricane Blue, and she's aged a lot since then.
She's still attractive.
Maybe if the hairstyle had been a little different, I don't know. It's a shame, too, because that's about as short a skirt as I've seen on someone in this kind of show. Also, it's kind of weird that that's who they chose to bring back for this role. I mean, it seems
like she is the one dopant victim who was helped directly by Axel, so...
I guess. But then she barely had any interaction. She barely had any interaction with Terui then, though.
Even though Axel saved her life.
No, I mean in the movie.
No, right.
Yeah. I mean, I get what you're saying. It's just if that was the case, I would assume they would have had them more directly involved. Also, it was nice that Philip and Shotaro were able to transform and go through their main forms in sequence.
And yet still keep to the sideline, mostly.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't steal the spotlight at all. Maybe if they had gone extreme, they would have a little bit. But they didn't.
It was nice seeing Double in action again, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if we'd actually get that in the Eternal movie.
Maybe an opening DuPont fight.
Maybe.
I doubt it.
Well, I guess we'll find out in a couple months, right? When does the Eternal movie come out?
Right. 2 months.
So, what, June?
Yep.
Well, it'll seem like no time at all once June rolls around.
And hopefully it'll be better than we expect.
But probably not, because it's still Eternal.
No, and I don't expect it to be good at all, so it could already exceed my expectations.
Not necessarily.
That's a good point.
It could be worse, though. It could be Gack portraying Eternal.
Huh?
Gack, the singer. He played Rider Man in All Riders vs. Die Shocker.
Okay, then.
Well, we'll get to that sometime next month. But yeah, Double Returns Excel was really good, and I enjoyed it quite a bit.
And it made me buy a giant model kit.
Of course it did. You are a weak, weak man.
I'm broke.
Well, now he is. After buying a giant model kit.
Well, yeah.
Yes, could but now I have a giant model kit.
Or you could have spent probably the same money and gotten the double form change Excel and not had to build anything.
I've already got the figure arts Excel.
But that doesn't transform.
So do I.
Well, and I don't think we'd be expecting you to transform.
I am. Paladin, turn into a bike. I need to ride into
town.
Now
you'll be disappointed. Yeah, go ride yourself.
What do I look like, your mom?
Yes.
Well, in this light, kind of.
And, of course, the Excel movie also had Koichi Sakamoto's touch in the fight scenes. Nice to see him
it's
doing
not as good as Stan Bush's touch.
It's nice to see him getting to put his talents to use, you know, not in Operation Overdrive with the explosions every 5 seconds. Well, it kind of takes away from the quality of the fight scenes. Although, I don't think
what quality was there to take away from? It was
exactly.
Overdrive.
I don't think the fight scenes in Excel were quite as good as Double Forever.
Well, it was a straight-to-DVD release, wasn't
it? Yeah, I know. But, you know, Joker's fight scene in Double Forever just caught me a little better than this. But, I mean, that's to be expected. That was Joker. Excel is no Joker.
Or a smoker.
Right. Okay, well, let's take a break and we'll come back to Twitter Theater.
Hey, this is JD from Fanboy Versus. Join me, Chris Triplett, and Chris McFeely live every Sunday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern or download the podcast. We'll discuss the week's biggest comic news as well as review the current week's best issues. So tune in to Fanboy Versus right here on the TF Radio Network.
Surge! From Beast Wars to Zeta Gundam, FigureReviews.com features a library of in-depth action figure reviews and high-quality photography reaching back to 2005.
XV and RAC carefully evaluate each figure and rate it on a non-numerical scale ranging from state-of-the-art to shoot-yourself, using a special formula based on years of toy reviewing experience.
Text, photos, video, audio. Informative awesome in every format. FigureReviews.com.
Tammy B's Real Brand Mayonnaise.
Hey everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna, and do you like video games? Do you like people who like video games? Well, if so, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. It's the weekly video game podcast of record. News, rumors, in-depth discussion of new and retro gaming, plus the occasional contest or giveaway. So if you game, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. Check us out at tfradio.net, a proud member of the Transformers Internet Radio Network.
The third strike, y'all, is Street Fighter 3.
Go, go, Podcast Rangers, you mighty morphing Podcast Rangers.
Jeez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?
Okay, so Twitter Theater. On Friday when I posted this, I advertised it as introducing us to Time Force's Big Red Dick. Although that's not entirely accurate, because this is actually the episode after we get introduced to Time Force's Big Red Dick.
The first time he's... the big red dick as opposed to just the big
dick.
This
is the first time he becomes big and red.
Right. Well, no, this is just the first time
he took his Viagra.
No, he was already big.
Yeah, he just becomes red for the first time. Exactly.
Did you have an encounter with your mom?
He's finally infectious in this episode.
No, Barricade, if he'd encountered your mom, he would be a little black dick. Because he would be dead. Too far?
No.
Nah.
Okay.
You can't go too far on this show.
We pushed it a couple times.
I keep trying. The one time we went too far was Armored Heroes.
No, I think that's when China went too far. That wasn't anything we did, except have the misfortune of watching it.
But, clearly, you know, that was all Decade's fault.
But, you know, we could go on for hours about what's wrong with Armor Hero. Instead, we're going to talk about Time Force. Insert sound clip here.
So it's time for Time Force?
Like I said, insert
and
sound
clip here.
Of course,
this episode we see the first results of the meddling with time. Saban's Masked Rider is still on the air.
Masked Rider. Masked Rider.
Or
and apparently it's a popular show.
And the way Nadir is responding to it, it's like a soap opera.
Maybe that's why Mickey ducked out. He won't even be tangentially associated with Saban's Masked Rider anymore.
I can understand how that would make him feel sick.
Yeah. Certainly had that effect on Nadira.
Well, yeah, at first I thought Nadira was crying like that because she was watching Saban's Masked Rider, but then she got upset when the signal got cut off. When it broke into a special report or whatever.
She's obviously
report from the
in
dig
denial.
Special report from Jurassic Park's dig site.
In Northern California. Because nothing in the Power Rangers universe ever happened that isn't in California. Or another planet. It's always one of the two.
There were episodes set in Australia.
Yeah, but, you know, most of it
sometimes
actually took place...
And they were actually in Australia.
Right, but most of it actually took place in that haunted theater house in California.
They just did that so that Cass could go on vacation.
No, they did that so the cast could go and film a movie.
Again.
Same difference.
Again?
Yeah.
Again.
First they filmed it with the helmets without visors. And of course they had the actual
being cast there for filming those scenes because, well, you could see them.
And they did that during the hiatus in the middle of season 2.
Yes, they did that during the hiatus, but then they had to go back there while they were also working on the show so they could redo a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, that's right. Oops!
Mostly so they could reshoot a bunch of scenes with the different Drusilla or...
Dulcia. Dulcia, not Drusilla. But yeah, who would have thought that having no visors in the helmet would be a bad idea?
F***ing everybody?
Pretty much.
Which also explains your mom's Saturday night.
Right. Because there's no visors in the helmets. That's where you were going with that, right?
Yes.
So yes, the inexplicable happens, and Network actually breaks into programming to announce a finding from an archaeological dig. Because everybody cares about that.
Of course they do.
Yes.
Either that or it's a TV channel that has a primary audience of Nadira.
Either that, or the TV station is just looking for any excuse to not actually air a whole episode of Saban's Masked Rider.
I'd go with that.
I certainly wouldn't blame them for that.
Yeah. And then Rancic, of course, knows immediately what the thing from the dig is.
Somehow.
Well, he's Rancic, you know. It's a big metal box from the future. From the past.
So he has to have it.
Of course. He's a rabid collector of Time Force merchandise. Or something.
This is the box you'll have. In the future.
Why can't Fort Max ever call in sick? No, nobody has an answer for that one.
So anyway. I just have my default answer. Blame Texas.
Yeah. So, you know, stuff happens. They thaw out a mutant and send it to the dig site.
And then the stupid guardians show up again.
Ah, yes, the Silver Guardians. They sure are there. You know, I actually watched the episode prior to this, and the Silver Guardians were doing pretty good holding their own against the Cyclobots and even one of the monsters, briefly. But, you know, it's not hard to take down a Cyclobot, especially when you have a grenade launcher, which they did. Actually, several of. Grenade launchers. Good stuff.
I guess Goto learned from their teachings.
Maybe. But this week's monster was a little bit too tough for the Silver Guardians.
He also loves to exposit.
Who?
The monster.
Oh.
Well, he is a monster.
And, you know, exposition moves the plot along. Exposition moves the plot forward without having to actually do anything. You know, you just talk for a few minutes and suddenly you're all somewhere else or something.
Kind of like this show.
Except we never actually get anywhere, obviously.
But anyway, it's all
about keep going off topic. That's getting somewhere.
So the commander of the Silver Guardian Squadron got injured during the previous episode, and Eric's gunning for his job. Real nice. Classy, that.
They all need the guy in the red beanie out there to tell them what to do.
Right. That lovely red beret. I think just on that basis, I wouldn't want the job of commander. Now, if it was like an orange bowler, that would be different. Bowlers are cool. Or a fez.
Or a Stetson.
That really took way too much prompting. I am disappointed. Always. Especially with Fort Max.
Hey, the new season doesn't start until later this week, so...
So what?
I'm saying you're expecting the Doctor Who references a week too early.
No, I don't think I am. So yeah, Eric wants to be the commander of the Silver Guardians, but Mr. Collins says, I don't know shit about you, like you're getting the job. Which is actually fairly reasonable.
Yeah, of course, even if he is a dick about it.
Well, he has to be a dick about it. Otherwise, you know, Eric would be the biggest dick in the episode. Of course he is anyway. But Mr. Collins gives it a damn good try. as portrayed by the multi-talented Edward Lawrence Albert. I'm just giving everybody a chance to go, who?
The deceased Mr. Edward Lawrence Albert, I believe.
Huh?
The deceased Mr. Lawrence Albert, I believe.
Is he?
I think so, yes.
Let's take a look. Let's see here. Well, there's a very nice picture of him in a cowboy hat. Yeah, he died in 2006. How about that?
At 55.
That's not that old.
So that's unfortunate.
It kind of is, isn't it?
Yes.
So where were we? What were we talking about?
A pair of dicks.
So, your mom's Thursday night.
Maybe the beginning of your mom's Thursday night.
Now, Thursday's a slow one. Okay, so stuff happens, such as...
Wes getting injured.
Eric steals the box from the dig site.
Yeah, stuff like that.
And decides the best thing to do with it is just stick his hand in the damn thing.
And Circuit informs Wes about the quantum powers and stuff and didn't bother think it was a good idea to even inform anyone else about it.
Well, everybody else already knows about it because they're from the future and they know a lot about history.
West with Side.
With a different crowd, that joke would have killed.
Hey, I get it.
Well, you're here. Deal with it.
Yeah, Fort Mac, doesn't really count if you get it, though. You weren't even born when that joke was coined.
I'm not that young. That I think you're thinking of Josh.
Who?
Barricade.
Yeah, but who's this Josh?
What is name showing up as?
People don't have real names on this show. Let you in on a little secret. Mickey isn't Hey Mickey's real name either. I've lost my train of thought. Not an uncommon occurrence, I will admit. So yeah, Eric decides to stick his hand into the shiny metal box from the future, from the past.
And be a dick about it.
And amazingly, does not lose an arm.
Yeah, isn't that what's supposed to happen when you stick your hand into ancient metal boxes?
That's what the Darwin Awards teach us.
No, instead he just gets a nice little shock and thrown back 20 or 30 feet from the box. So then he just hides it behind something in the power plant.
And then does it again later.
Nobody will ever find it there. Yes, but the second time he does it, it's in the Japanese footage, which makes it work.
And the Quantum Ranger is born.
And
it's cool music.
And so we have Time Force's big red dick. That's not from the future. Because there was one of those, too. Later.
The big red fiery dick.
Yes.
Well, this is the big red dick with the cool theme music.
And the best gun.
That makes a weird noise when he taps it against his helmet.
Ah, well, actually, his Silver Guardian pistol in the episode previous makes the same sound. So apparently in Power Rangers Time Force, that's just the sound a gun makes when you hit it against something. Like
and
Barricade
his gun sword comes with its own artificial intelligence.
I thought that was in the Morpher.
Kind of like how apparently all sensors of no matter what it is that they're built to detect sound like the Turbo Navigator.
Well, that's because they already own that sound effect. Or is otherwise free. So, you know, they don't have to actually pay anything for a new sound effect.
Isn't it fun when Saban recycles music?
Depends on the music.
Well, if I'm watching Power Rangers and I hear my Osmon music, it's fun.
Which, I think that music originally came from Spider-Man.
Which Spider-Man?
The Fox Kids Spider-Man.
Oh, okay.
What other
was
Spider-Man
that even
would
Saban?
It... Saban did almost everything Fox Kids in the 90s.
Mm. Of course, I know Digimon reused a bunch of Masked Rider music.
Yeah, so, I mean, they were kind of sharing music libraries all around. Probably getting music library aids all over everything. See, Barricade, that's when we go too far.
Well, actually, was the music library sealed or not?
Well, not by the time Power Rangers was using it. Or Masked Rider or Digimon. By that time, it was all loose.
Well, that just means that they wouldn't sell it to anyone.
I think we've taken this old in-joke as far as we can, Fort Max.
No, we haven't.
I think we have, Fort
yes,
Max.
We have.
Since you and I are the only ones who know what we're talking about, and I use that phrase loosely, especially in your case. So yeah, Quantum Ranger, cool theme music, awesome gun.
Kicks ass.
Really, the Quantum Defender is one of my favorite Ranger weapons of all time. It's a dinosaur head gun. How much better can you get than that?
Just needs to be able to become a sword.
Wait, there's more!
And it does.
And it's a sword that can freeze you and shrink you.
Also, the villain in this episode had one of the best lines ever.
Which one was that?
I'm nobody, and I
Hello,
can
Hello, my name
Power
is nobody,
Rangers.
And I'm...
One at a time, boys. I choose
Glad
Paladin.
To meet you. My name is no one, and I'm too tough for the Power Rangers.
I don't remember that.
It was there.
It was.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. I just don't remember it.
You didn't even watch the episode, did you?
Yes, I did. I actually like this episode. Because, you know, it's cool and dinosaur-headed gun and stuff. Really favorite weapon. So yeah, there's a new Ranger in town.
And he's a fiery dick.
Yes. Especially
Place from
the
present.
Episode. Right. He's especially a dick at the end of the episode. Of course, you know, Eric's motivation...
Fire is what sets him apart from the one in the future.
Right. Eric's motivations are a little bit off anyway. Being that he wants to do this all for his personal gain.
And for being mad at... And because he's mad at Wes for being rich.
Right.
Well, not just Wes, but yeah.
Well, as it went in the previous episode, he's mad at Wes for being rich and not being a dick about being rich. So you figure that one out.
Eh, no thanks.
He's mad at Wes for being rich and being a nice guy while being rich. I don't really understand how that's a bad thing, but...
I know. Think he just hates people who aren't dicks.
I think he just hates everyone.
I can relate to that sentiment. And as it happens, I'm
also...
Maybe
that's why he's a fan favorite.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm a dick too, so I relate to Eric pretty easily. Maybe one day I will be big, red, and on fire as well. Or at
and
least
we'll have
ride the fire.
That turns into a sword.
I would love to have a dinosaur head gun that turns into a sword. I actually do have the Quantum Defender toy.
What are they going for on eBay?
I don't know. I got mine pretty cheap.
Of course, the main problem that... The main thing I dislike about the Quantum Ranger is... He has the most boring morpher toy ever.
Yes, but the version of it that comes with the Q-Rex is a remote control, so that's a little more interesting.
But the morpher doesn't actually do anything.
Well, it's got that nice retro LED display. That's cool, right?
It was still the Showa era. Most of the morphers didn't do shit.
Yeah, I mean, up to that point, there had only been, what, one cell phone-style morpher? You know, that's when they really started actually doing stuff.
Now, with this morpher, you just shout at it.
Well, even with the toy, though, it didn't do that. That would be the remote control version for the Q-Rex that you yelled at. With the actual morpher toy, you just push the button. So I'm looking on eBay, and... Quantum Defenders go in the neighborhood of $30 shipped. There's not many of them up
either.
That's
hardly terrible.
No, it's not terrible.
Could be worse.
Yeah, like this one on a store listing that's at $45 plus shipping, which nobody's buying. So there's definitely a sense of value to it.
Or at least a sense of hoping they can get some sucker to spend that much money on it.
Well, I recognize the seller name, and I don't think that's going to happen. But yeah, the ones that actually sell go in the $30 range. But like I said, I got mine cheaper, and it came with a Quantum Morpher, too. Of course, the Quantum Defender doesn't actually work. The electronics are screwed up.
The other main problem I had with the Time Force toy line, well, two problems. No Deluxe Transwarp Megazord, and no gun. For the mode blue to use.
No?
Right. You had to get the Japanese version if you wanted that.
Well, you had to get... The gun was not sold with the Megazord in either market. The gun slash jet thing with the Ranger figures was sold as a single set in Japan, but we got the Rangers in the playsets, but not the gun.
So we didn't get the time jet thing at all?
I'm pretty sure we didn't.
We got one that... We got a huge... We got the roleplay one.
Okay, that's the one I'm
thinking
the
Ranger
of.
Figure that the Ranger action figures could ride on, but we didn't get one that the Megazord could use.
Did okay, we get the full-size giant robot with the fist?
No.
That's a Transwarp Megazord.
I have a smaller toy of that.
Yeah, that's the playset one.
Yeah, but just think about how big a deluxe one would have had to be with the base and everything.
Especially if they tried to make it in scale with Q-Rex.
That'd be kind of ridiculous. See, that's one thing that bugs me about this part of Time Force, which is, okay, you're early in your time travel experiments, so the thing you decide to send is an unmanned Tyrannosaurus robot.
And a power box.
Right, with its power source stuck in its head. I don't really... I mean, what? And you can't really blame Saban for this, because it's basically the same thing in Time Ranger.
Actually,
also.
I think I understand the reasoning. Wouldn't it be awesome if...
Kind of makes me think that early Time Force was just a bunch of stoners sitting around thinking of ways to use this new time travel.
Was.
But still, T-Rex robot through the time portal, and let's just see what happens.
About that next week.
Well, and, you know, going from there, it's like, okay, so they send it through the time portal, and then what were they expecting to have happen? I don't think the Q-Rex can actually travel through time by itself. I think it needs something
else.
They
were expecting history to change and have legions of robot T-Rexes walking around?
That
was
like
probably somewhere in the line of thought.
That seems like it would go really bad really fast.
Or really awesome really fast.
I think the possibilities for it turning out badly are greater than the possibilities of it producing awesome.
Bill and Ted were behind this.
Clearly.
Or maybe it was just a protester's way of saying, bring back Dino Riders.
No, you know what it was? They were going to send this back in time and wait for the Denliner to bring it back to them. Because Denno has to be involved in everything.
Even before he existed.
Even though it wouldn't be on the air for another 8 years.
Well, that's the beauty of time travel, gentlemen. It doesn't matter when something happens, because it can always happen again. Or something like that. Some variation of that sentence that makes sense.
Wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
No, I don't think the Doctor was involved. But yeah, that's really the one part of this that just kind of falls apart, no matter how you look at it. Because it requires
Well, there's
them...
probably a reason they don't talk about it.
Okay, guys, I have to admit, we kind of dropped...
Realize how dumb it was.
Yeah, we kind of dropped the ball on that one, so why don't we file this
Let
away
us
and
never,
never
speak
mention
of it
again.
Yeah. Agreed.
Well... And then, of course, there's the other awesome part of this, which is that their time travel mechanism involves a giant robot with a giant fist that smacks stuff through the portal to send it into the past.
Including itself.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, you have to admit, there's definitely some questionable design processes going on at Time Force.
You can't say they're not inventive.
Apparently a thousand years...
Grow some awesome weed in the future.
Yes, apparently that's all they have
managed
to advance.
They must have found the stuff Poe was on when they made Scheider.
Clearly an extra 1,000 years was not giving them any new engineering ideas.
Well, not for machines, anyway.
Right.
They did figure out how to engineer humans.
Yes. And everyone's a test tube baby. That always kind of struck me an odd way, too, when Time Force was originally on. That doesn't exactly sound like a utopian future. That sounds more like a Brave New World.
That has such people in it.
But then that's getting into a more general Time Force discussion, which would probably be better served at another time, if you'll pardon the expression.
Har har, and yes.
Well, no pun was actually intended with that. It just worked out that way. So, next week on Superhero Time, we will be watching parts 1 and 2 of Clash for Control, which actually introduces the Q-Rex into Time Force, among other questionable actions. But it'll be fun, won't it?
Yeah.
Define fun.
Well, maybe Mickey will be back next week.
Yeah, fun for whom?
Well, if Mickey's here, we can all have more fun making fun of Fort Max.
You do that anyway.
Yes, but it's just not the same when Mickey's not here.
Needs a group effort.
Yeah. So yeah, I guess that's about it for us this week. Special thanks to Barricade for filling in with us at the last moment.
No problem.
Hopefully we won't need you again next time. That's why I had to thank you first.
Of course.
Thank you. I hope you don't have to come back. I'm a very gracious host. Yes. This is why we cannot get consistent guest hosts. Except for Barricade, who apparently has no self-esteem. So yeah, catch us next week with more Time Force and almost as much Big Red Dicks. And I guess that will be
and
the
I
end
guess a big bomber.
Hopefully a big bomber, yeah, that would be good. But probably no more movies, because I don't think anything's coming out. But we'll have more Samurai.
Will
we actually have more Samurai, or is it off next week? There wasn't a preview attached to this week's episode.
It's Nickelodeon. Who can tell?
Yeah.
Do we really care?
We didn't have a preview 1 week, because they hadn't realized that, oh yeah, we have another episode, and
we should probably air that.
Yeah. And then we did get a preview the week before. It was preempted for a rerun of some stupid award show.
But to answer your question, Barricade, I care when we don't have Samurai. Because, woo! You know, that's a good time. But, you know, we'll have O's next week, and that'll be good. And Gokaiger's great. Because, you know, big bomber. Big bomber.
It's so good having good tokusatsu.
Especially after a year of Gosager. Gokaiger is exactly what we needed after Gosager. Because if we would have had another off year, I just don't know what I would have done. I don't know if I could have trusted Sentai again after 2 years in a row bad.
It's not like you watched any of Gosager.
I watched over half of Gosager.
Oh, which, wait, that was me who hasn't watched any.
Yes, Fort Max, please don't confuse you for me. That's just very mean-spirited. Okay, that's our show. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next time. And
thank you.
We won't blame you if you're not. Say goodnight, Fort Max.
Good night.
You did it wrong.
He does that.
That's what I'm here for.
This has been Superhero Time with your hosts, XV, Hey Mickey, Paladin, and Fort Max. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.
Well, that's a perfect ending right there.
Exactly.
Fort Max acknowledging his place in the universe to get things wrong, including that Australian accent he's doing. Okay, well, thanks, guys. I will talk to you next time.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Later.
Farewell.
Push the button, Fort Max. I did that last time.